the Bible.
Very pleasant afternoon. We are glad that you have tuned in and that you are with us as far as finding answers from the Bible. That is our purpose, and we are so much appreciate your desire to know the truth, to be able to find God's Word and find what God says in His Word. We want to say hello to our Facebook audience today that you have joined us as well. We thank you for this opportunity to get into God's Word and so that we might be able to do things that God wants of us. We have a live caller standing by. We have Dwayne on line one, and he has a question. Brownie, his question has to do with how can we know for sure the whole Bible, like so we believe in the book of James, and that is a serious book. So, Dwayne, you're live on the air, line one. If you will go ahead and share with us your question, we sure do appreciate that. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I met an ex-Muslim fellow, and I accent the fact that he's an ex-Muslim, that said he was told that the Bible is corrupted and therefore cannot be taken seriously. This idea kept him away from serious Bible study for some time. How can we know for sure that the Bible is truly God's Word? I know several people who think the book of James should not be included for the same basic reason. How can we reach those who do not take the whole Bible as God's Word? Because, after all, a belief in the Bible being God's Word is part of what this whole show is about, I think.
Yes, that's exactly right. We sure do appreciate your call, and we will go to that, find that answer right now. Brownie, go ahead.
Dwayne, thanks for calling and asking that question. I was thinking about that as you were asking it, and you know, the Bible makes some tremendous claims for itself that no other book makes, no other library of books make. This is 66 books written by about 40 different men, inspired by God, the Holy Spirit giving them the thoughts and mind of God as He revealed it to them. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But there's one passage particularly, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, that says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Dwayne, what people have tried to do through the years is to berate the Bible and try to find errors and problems with it. It's not a book of geography or science or anything like that. But the point is that no one has been able to call the Bible into question as far as its historicity. Names that are mentioned in the Bible, specific names, specific kings, places, and all of these things have been found to be true just from a historical standpoint. But we believe that God in His providence has allowed us to have this Word and to be able to know for sure that it is God's mind that has been revealed to us. If man could have written the Bible, he wouldn't have. And so it just brings out too much against what man is and what he's done to show that God is in control, and God has revealed this written word to us, and we are so thankful for it. And thankful for your question, Dwayne. Ricky might have something to add to that.
Yes, sometimes people think that because they didn't have a printing press back then, that over time that it must have gotten lost through the centuries. And thus they would say, well, how can we trust that what we read is actually what God inspired to be written down there? And so when you go to Peter's writings, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then he even illustrates it. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. Grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this same book that God has inspired 2,000 years ago and before has been preserved through the years. Even in spite of all the vicious attacks that it has gone through by every society in every age of man since then. It still remains the number one best-selling book in the world. And when you go back and see and do research and find how it has evolved through the years, you do not see an evolution. Actually, you see identification and clarity over and over again. So, Dwayne, hopefully that helps you. God promised something there in 1 Peter 2, and he has never reneged on a promise. His promises are true, and they will always be, and we still have his word today. Thank you so much for your question, and we hope and pray that you will listen each week and that we will be able to find more of the answers that God wants us to have. Thank you so much. Again, those of you that have just tuned in, we are glad that you're with us. You can call 770-835-4000. You can text in your question, or if you like, you can call just like Dwayne did and ask your question live over the air. You, when you call, you can also have your question written down and brought into us. We'd rather you go live on the air, and that way that we can find out personally from you exactly what's on your mind. Again, the number is 770-5-4000. And by the way, Dwayne, you, and if anyone else has wants more information on this, go to which is www.answersfromthebible.org. From the Bible, and there's actually several, a few articles there that will help you along this line to know that we have the truth.
You know, Ricky, a couple of things come to mind in regard to his question, and that is Jesus' apostles that they would be guided into all truth. In Jude, verse 3, there's one chapter in the book of Jude, and Jude says that that the people were to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all time revealed to the saints. Plus, there are so many warnings in the Word of God, threaded all the way through both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that add to or take away from what is written, that the Word of God is powerful. It's intended by God to be for man, and he doesn't want man to do anything to change any of those ideas about revelation. So we need to be careful of the Word of God and make sure that we are looking at it as if the revelation has come from the Holy Spirit and it is the mind of God himself.
Yes, that's exactly right. We have to make certain of that. And after all, if we didn't have a standard to go by, what kind of confusion would there be? Oh, wait a minute. That's exactly what's going on in this world, isn't it? Confusion that man is coming up with, but God gives us peace and clarity. We have John here standing by. He's wanting to tell us about the unity and fellowship with God in his word so that we might be able to be prepared to meet God face to face.
Actually, before I say that, regarding the question that was just asked, when you look at the word that we have, part of the question there is about the transmission of the scriptures. How can we trust it through the years? When you think about what the Jews did, in particular with the Old Testament, in the care that they took in copying the word and the checks and balances that they placed on themselves to ensure that it was correct and it was copied properly. And when it wasn't, and it was found out to be, it would be burned, right? It was that important. This was God's word. But also the New Testament, if you look at a Greek New Testament, oftentimes half the page is taken up of noting all the different variants. Through the years, things can be copied, and maybe a word's copied wrong or something. Those things are all noted. And you understand, and if you really look at what's done throughout time, through the whole New Testament, maybe a half a page is maybe in question, and none of those are any questions about what was actually said. It might be an or an a or a the, you know, something like that. It's trustworthy, more so than any other book that we have in throughout history. Yes. The amount of information that we have about it, the copies that we have that go all the way back to the first century, and what's done after that, it's amazing. It's remarkable, actually.
Absolutely.
It's interesting, too, John, as you're talking about that there are some 24,000 parts or copies of manuscripts of the Bible, and in comparison to the Odyssey, written by Homer, people accept that readily as coming from him. Look at the Bible and how many manuscript copies there are and partial copies. You see the overwhelming amount certainly trumps anything else around that's that age.
And so we've got to find our answers from God's Word and God's Word alone. And that is why this program exists, called Answers from the Bible. If we do not go there for our answers, then where would we go? The Bible is the only place that we can have the standard that God wants us to have, the fruit that he wants us to have, and the hope that he wants us to have. If we're not following his instructions, then how can we call him Lord? Jesus said, "Why call me Lord and do not do the things that I say?" Another place in John was in John chapter 12, and I think it's verse 13, where he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Is that correct, 12, 13?
That's close.
Okay. and that's why we have to find out what he wants. He said, if you love me, our very love of God depends on if we keep his commandments.
That's John 14 and verse 15.
14:15. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. And so you can call in right now if you have a question. You can call us at 770-835-4000. That is 770-835-4000. And you can ask your question live over the air, or you can have your question written down and brought in to us. Either way, we will be able to find the answers to God's Word. Okay, John, you want to share that information about why it's so important and what Jesus did and how important that is for us to follow.
Sure. Everywhere we look today, we see many different churches teaching many different things. But when we look into the Bible, we see Jesus say, "I am the way and I am the truth." As he revealed his word in the New Testament, he speaks of just one faith. Isn't it time to search and find that one way, one truth, and one faith? Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's look into God's word for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Would you like for us to send you a free Bible course in the mail? You may find it amazing how much you learn and how many things you may have never seen before. Isn't it time to listen to what our Creator explains to us about our purpose in this life? The answers have always been in God's Word. Is it possible that our enemy has blinded us from seeing the truth? Is it possible that we might have missed important instructions that show us the way to heaven? Don't wait thinking you have time later to learn and change. How many friends and relatives do we know who without notice have left this life to begin their eternal existence somewhere? So make certain to call 770-835-4000 for the free Bible correspondence course that will direct you to answers each of us need before we meet our Creator. God is the one who will tell us where we will spend eternity. And by the way, who better to show us how to put our lives together here than the one who designed us to begin with? Let's prepare now. Call 770-835-4000. Enroll today for the free Bible course. If you're interested in hosting an Answers from the Bible event in your community, you can also call 770-835-4000, and we'll make those arrangements. If you are already active in the course, wonderful. Now is your chance to call us with your Bible questions, and we will give you book, chapter, and verse answers. The number is 770-835-4000. You can call or text right now. Now, let's turn it back over to Ricky and Brown.
John, thank you so much for that. And we do have a question that came in. Thank you for your program. My question, how can I be sure of my salvation? Can I sin so that I will be lost? Listening for your answer. This is Norma calling our, and we do want a question because it's so very important, in our lives today. What must I do to be sure? Norma, it was just John that, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and verse number 17. That's the way that we know whether or not we're saved by God's word. And salvation is such an important issue, Ricky, that we could talk about that for some time. You want to go ahead and mention something about that?
Yes. We have a number of examples of becoming children of God, and then by chance they have sinned, and their salvation was in jeopardy. in Acts chapter 8, we see a whole city yielding obedience to God. They were received the word of God. They believed and were baptized. And a man that was of the occupation of being a sorcerer also obeyed the gospel, being baptized. Well, he continued observing all the miracles and wonders that were done by the hands of the apostles. And that seed that was in his heart caused him to sin against God. And so what he was told to do in response to that was to repent and pray if perhaps the thought of his heart would be forgiven him. That's Acts chapter 8. And beginning with verse 13, we see him obeying the gospel. And then as it all unfolds, he says, Peter tells him, when he tries to buy the gift of God with money, he says, your money perish with you. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness and pray to God if perhaps the thought of your heart should be forgiven you. And so that's what a child of God must do once he becomes a child of God, once he is added to the body of Christ. Before the broadcast today, we were talking here in the studio, and we pointed out many times that the Roman road that is commonly used today in the denominational sense, those that follow after various systems of belief, they leave out the very core of that Roman road, unfortunately. And thus, by leaving that out, it leaves somebody in their sin. And so this is something that should be alarming to us and that we should very much be able to make certain that we've done as well. You want to share that with the radio audience?
Yes. Romans chapter 6 is particularly a very important chapter, as all of them are. But this has to do with a man putting his sin off and the old man dying to sin. Chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, Paul wrote the Roman church and said, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should in of life. For if we've been united together in his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Ricky, this has to do with putting off the old man and putting on the new man. But the time of that happens when we are buried with Christ into his death, and we're then raised to walk in newness of life. I was thinking also, and you may want to deal with that in a second, but I was thinking about the second part of that question. Can a person sin so that they can be lost? Ricky, there are just too many warnings in the Word of God about that. Why would God warn us about those things and tell us that a person can fall and can be lost if there's no possibility that that can happen? I was thinking particularly of Galatians chapter number 5 and verse 4 about this particular question. And Paul writes to the Galatians and says, I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace.
No way.
Yes, sir.
Say that.
Well, Ricky, it's hard to fall from somewhere that you are not. And so you have grace to fall.
Well, that's something that when I was in the denominational world, that I was taught that once you're saved, that's it. You've got a free ticket to heaven. But that does say something different,
doesn't
it?
Well, yes, and there's another passage to me that's very strong, too, and that's 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Sounds to me like a person can deny the Lord who had been purchased by his blood and fall away.
Yes, and there are a number of other verses, and we can put that on our website. If you're interested, you can go to www. answersfromthebible.org, and we will upload information about that subject, and you can download that and study that even further if you so desire. Thank you so much for that question. We have a caller. It looks like it's called in from Texas, and their question is, the Bible says, honor your father and mother. Do I dishonor my parents if I do not stay in their church? Well, first of all, thank you for your question. We certainly do appreciate this. And you'll find the answer in some of the verses probably that you know already. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so one thing a parent must do is to make certain that as the children start getting older and they're not like 4, 5, 6 years old, is to hand them to God. They've got to have their faith, and that faith is to come God himself from his word. And so we start correcting our children as they get a little older. We need to, with just like this program is called, answers from, to back it up with answers from the Bible, so that when they do leave home, that they are leaving home as a servant of God and not someone that's keeping the parents' rules. And so that faith has got to be their own faith, and that faith is supposed to come from God. And that is so very important. Brownie, you have something else on that?
Ricky, I was just thinking, my parents were not of the same persuasion religiously. One was a Christian, the other was not. And my mother wanted me to go with her, but the things that I was finding in God's Word were not in harmony with what they were doing. So I had to decide, I'm going to go just follow my mother, I'm going to study the Scripture for myself, and as you said, develop my own faith, and that's what I've tried to do throughout my life.
Yeah, that's what we have to do. I tell you what, it actually stems all the way back to 1946. In 1946, there was a child psychologist who wrote a best-selling book that taught people how to raise their children. And some of the sentiments that he said was, do not correct them, do not bind them, do not say no or say that they're wrong, but rather you were supposed to just love them in order to bring them up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you probably are aware of that created a whole generation of people. At that point, they were called hippies, and it was just free love and no rules and rebellion and all kind of riots and such. Well, and of course, then there was another generation that has come along that also is bought into this. No rules. Don't correct anyone. Just love them and don't say no. And the fruit of that is that they are told today they're supposed to tolerate anything and everything except those who are intolerant and those who say there are rules. Okay, we can't agree with them, or those who say there's a right and wrong. Don't do that. Or those who say there is a supreme authority that we must listen to. Again, what in the world is going on? Because those people are attacked and brutally treated, and yet they were taught from the beginning that you don't ever correct anyone. And yet what are they doing? They're being intolerant, they're correcting, and they're actually brutally treating people. And if you doubt this, just tune in the news today. You'll see that there are police, politicians, and lawyers. The court judicial system is attacked right and left. And I'm not saying that there is justice always going on in our court system, because that is a court of man. But there must be a standard. There must be those who are willing to say there is a right and that there is a wrong. And that sometimes people will be honest and want that kind of justice and want that kind of peace, but they're not willing to accept anybody that would disagree with them. And so the result of that is there's going to be anarchy and riots and rebellion and unrest, and it all stems from a lack of respect and reverence, a supreme.
You know, Ricky, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:4 that fathers should bring up their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Yes. And even God recognizes...
That word admonition, that's not a word used today. What does that mean
admonition,
today?
To encourage someone to do right.
Correct.
To be on the right
path.
Yeah,
to correct them.
But in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, the Hebrew writer says, "If you know the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord or the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." So there's an indication here that love plays a vital part in a parent disciplining and trying to bring their children up as God would have them. And love certainly prompts all of those things.
And the truth is, we do not love someone if we don't chasten them. We're actually handing them a stick that will lead them to disaster. And ladies and gentlemen, and I didn't want you to just think that this is going to be a political program, because it's not just a political or a world problem. It is also a religious problem. Till the world of Christianity unites to be able to follow one Lord and one faith and one doctrine and one king, it is going to be anarchy and division even among those who say they follow Christ. Division today has caused the world that is not religious to look at us who are trying to serve God, and they laugh at us. And Jesus is betrayed as a joke instead of our King and our Lord. God obviously, clearly loves us. Just look around and see all the fruit of that love everywhere you look. And so Jesus, in one of his most painful prayers, we see him praying in John chapter 17. And as he begins to talk about us in our day, he says, "I pray not just for the 12 alone, but for them who will believe on me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you've sent me." He goes on two verses later, he repeats that again, and he says, "Not only know that, but that the world may know that you love them as you loved me." If we can just focus on God, to him and to his leadership as our Lord and our King, and have one heart and one mind and one doctrine, then the world won't have any reason to look and laugh or make fun of us.
Well, don't we have that now, Ricky?
Only God's word exclusively.
All right. I was thinking of back to Norma's question a few minutes ago that she asked, and thinking about the love that God has for his people, those he created. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 beginning says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with grace. You have grace that we receive." Many have called it an unfair. That's exactly what it is. It's something we do not deserve, cannot earn, or get. Whatever we do, even after you've done all that's commanded you, you are still unprofitable servants. So if we obey everything that God says for us to do to be saved, our salvation, Ricky, is still by grace.
Yes, that's right.
Through faith.
And those of you that are listening via Facebook, we want you to know you can ask questions as well if you want to hit the comment button at the bottom of the screen and type in your, we have one here that will bring that question over to me, and we'll answer those questions today on today's broadcast. So don't miss, go ahead and tap the comment button and type your question, and we'll find the Bible answer to your question. We are very much interested in finding all the answers from God's word. And so we have Jacob here that's wanting to share with us some information on why it's important that Christ did what he did for us. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, just like you all said a little earlier about love, about you have to chase. You're chasing people, and that's how you show your love. God has done the exact same thing. God thinks we are very important to him, so important that he chases us as well. He sent his only son, to come to earth as a man, flesh and blood, to provide a way for us to be with him in heaven. And this wasn't an easy or cheap thing to do. It was very expensive. It cost him his life. He sent his only son down here to be a blood sacrifice so that we might have a chance to live with him in heaven. Now, to soften man's heart, he demonstrates his love by showing how much he is willing to suffer for us. By his stripes, we can be healed. His love was vividly demonstrated by his brutal torture and crucifixion. This opened the door for man to be saved from his sins and gives us hope. His suffering, hopefully, opens our hearts to gratefully respond to his plea to join him. Unfortunately, many churches do not teach all of what we should do to accept his forgiveness. With only part of the instruction given, it still leaves man in his sin, and the blood that was shed to wash away our sins may be never applied to bring salvation, which leaves us all lost. So what is missing? Would it surprise you to know that baptism into Christ is also part of God's plan? The answer has always been right there in God's Word. From the day the church began, it was practiced and taught, but not so much today. And would you be surprised to know, there is no such thing as a sinner's prayer in the Bible. Find the answer in God's Word. Go ahead and call 770-835-4000 and we'll answer your question live, or call a little later today and enroll in the Bible course. God will not force his will on any of us. He expects us to seek, to knock, and then to ask. Now let's get back to Answers from the Bible with Ricky and Brownie.
Jacob, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. Ricky, I was talking to a lady yesterday about Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10. I had asked her about salvation and how she became a Christian, and I was very interested in her answer. And she immediately went to Romans 10, 9, and 10, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is absolutely, Ricky, a true statement. There's no question about that, that we must believe in our hearts that God raised the dead, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Not the totality of what God requires, because repentance obviously is a part of that, and we have to go somewhere else to find that verse. For instance, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, God wants all men everywhere to repent of their sins, to change their mind and amend their life with a godly sorrow that prompts that. And then we go also to other passages to show that, as Jacob just mentioned, baptism is a vital part of that process of salvation too, where we come into Christ by being baptized into Christ. If you'll look at Galatians 3, chapter 26 and chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, you'll find that very idea that one is baptized into Christ, and that's how he comes into Christ, that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, Ricky, we have to take all that God has said, not only on the subject of salvation, but all that God said about any subject to get the whole picture of what he requires us to do.
Yes, that's exactly right. Sometimes, you've probably, ladies and gentlemen, you've used this expression, well, let's go to the horse's mouth about this. And I know that's kind of a nonsensical, literal statement, but we know what that means. Let's go to the source rather than listening to hearsay, who said, or even what people believe or what people have done. And so sometimes it's just prudent to just go to the beginning and figure out exactly what was said and done in the beginning and do it, and what? We will be what they were. You go to Acts chapter 2, this is the very first day the word church is used in prayer. And in chapter 2, in verse 47, we see that God, after the events, we're going to back up in just a second, but notice what he says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Okay, well, what were they doing to cause the Lord to add them to his church? Well, let's go back to verse 41, and we'll see. It says in verse 41, then those who gladly received his word and were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them.
Didn't they say the sinner's prayer in that text, Ricky, somewhere?
Yeah, I have not found that in the Bible anywhere, this text.
No.
And so you can see. Now, notice those last two words in the New King James and maybe some other translations has the words "to them" in italicized. And that is an indicator of no original Greek word to correspond to that. So when it says that they were added, the words "to them" were not there, it leaves a question. What were they added to? Well, that's when verse 47 question, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So what did the people do? How did they receive that word? Well, backing up a little bit further, we see in verse 40, they are urged with many other words. He testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So they weren't saved at that point, but at verse 41, they were saved because of what they did. All right, well, those words that they were sharing with them. Let's go back again to verse 38, and we'll see that they were told to repent and be baptized, every one in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, well, why would they repent or turn from their sin? Well, again, we have to go back up again to find out that. He says in verse 36, Peter, therefore, let all the houses of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So follow that verse down and you'll see exactly what they did, and that's exactly what we should do. They did believe. They were told to repent and be baptized. They received that word and were added. And it says, in response to that, the Lord added them to his church. So that's what we're supposed to do today. Ladies and gentlemen, we just went to the original thing that was spoken to start Christianity, to start God's people and to the beginning of his church. And so we should try to be nothing more and nothing less than exactly what they did, and thus we will be what they were.
Rick, and the reason that they did that was Peter had accused them back in Acts 2 and verse 23 that they had taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put Jesus to death. So they had sin in their life, and they felt guilty. They asked what they must do, and Peter told them exactly what they needed to do to be saved. There's another passage, Ricky, that I'd like to mention to the audience here. It's found in Acts chapter 22, and this is the occasion where Paul himself was in front of the Jewish council, the Jewish authorities, and he was telling about his experience on the road and into Damascus itself. When a bright light shone, he was blinded. He was led by his servants into the city. The Bible says he prayed for 3 days, and he fasted, didn't eat anything. And, you know, if there's any occasion, Ricky, where someone could be saved by prayer, surely this was the occasion where Paul prayed for 3 solid days. But
and he didn't eat or drink for those 3 days.
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we find that Ananias was sent by God to Saul, where he was staying, and he came to him and told him what God's plan was for him. He said, God's chosen you to know his will, see the just one, hear the voice of his mouth. You'll be a witness to all men of what you've seen and heard. And now Ananias told him something that God would want him to do. He said, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Why? It says to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So that's the point at which sins were washed away by the blood of Christ. It was not on the road to Damascus, because he was still in his sins on the road to Damascus until he obeyed the gospel.
Yeah, isn't that something? It's been there the whole time. We're just reading it right out of the book. Is that people are not going to the book to find those answers. Matter of fact, I'm going to change the subject. I want to make a startling statement to you. And that is something that at the end of many broadcasts today, even religious broadcasts, they will take time to try and encourage you to give a contribution, to give your tithes and offerings, or we need support for your, in order for this program to continue. Well, here's my startling statement. Ladies and gentlemen, put away your checkbook. Put away your money. We do not want nor need your money. Matter of fact, what we want to do is to share with you the riches that God wants all of us to have. And it's not talking about cha-ching or that which you can hear in your pocket or fill in your wallet. It is about the riches that God is giving us in heaven. The price has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what we just brought out is how we touch the blood of Christ. When we die with him and rise to walk in newness of life, that's where we come in contact with that saving power, that saving blood of Jesus Christ. The belief, the repentance, the confession, all that's leading up to that. But until we have that ceremony of being married to Christ, then we are still outside of Christ, and that's so important. So that's why we say, please do not send us your contribution. Sometimes money in an envelope and send it item back and say, please don't do that. We are just honored to share with you the wellness. And why? You might say, well, why? This is so strange. Now think about it. Throughout the New Testament, where did Jesus, Paul, or any of the apostles ask for support for the work that he was doing? And the answer to that is,
well,
nowhere.
Yeah, that's right, Ricky. I was just thinking of a passage that you reminded me of in Romans chapter 1. Paul says in verse 14 of that chapter, I am debtor to all men. Not only did they not owe him anything or he want anything from them, he owed them.
Yes.
And the reason is not because they had brought some claim to him, but because the blood of all men was on his hands. That when an opportunity arose to teach his men about the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was willing and ready to do that very thing. And he was a to anyone else, from the barbarian to the cultured in Athens. It didn't matter. He wanted to speak to them about Jesus Christ and him crucified.
And so that's kind of a strange thing that you probably don't hear on the radio very often, but that's what we're saying. It's your tithes and offerings. Do not send us a contribution. We are wanting to share with you the riches of his grace. Why? Because that's exactly what they did in the Bible. When you look in Acts chapter 2 through chapter 6, you see thousands of converts, thousands of people becoming the children of God. And if you think about it, they had left from those that did not live in Jerusalem. They'd left crops and flocks in the fields, and they stayed in Jerusalem. They were prepared to stay just a week or so, but they stayed for a long length of time to hear the word of God. Why? Because it's that important. And so it is that important of why that this program is on the air, so that you can share in the riches of his grace, and that we might be able to all be able to rejoice around the throne of God one day.
Absolutely. Ricky, thank you. Let me go another direction just here for
sure.
A moment. Oftentimes when people go to church services, wherever they may be going, they sit in the pew and they'll listen to a preacher or a priest or whoever it is that's demonstrating them or giving them the word. I'd like to encourage our audience, each one, to verify what is being said and to make sure that what is taught is coming from the scriptures. Even in Berea, in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, that's those in Berea, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So often, Ricky, unfortunately, people just accept whatever the preacher says without ever testing him. Here's a group of people in Berea that were listening to an apostle who was inspired by the Holy Spirit to speak his words. Today, we are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, so all the more reason why we ought to test and examine and search to see if the things that are spoken are in fact so. In fact, First Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, prove all things, hold fast to what is good. So there needs to be a test by any preacher who's speaking, any preacher who's teaching something.
Yes.
Verify it from the scriptures.
And thus on our website, if you would like to go there, is that document we mentioned last week, a series of questions to ask your preacher. Go to www.answersfromthebible.org and you can download that. It's just one page. It's just a series of questions with verses that give the answer so you can know what God says, but ask your preacher and listen to what he says and see if it lines up with what God says. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy brings that out, that we should be a worker that not be ashamed, rightly dividing or accurately handling the word of truth. And so that's why that we want to put the answers in from God's word in your hands in every subject that may come up. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question right now, you can join us. We have several people that are watching throughout the world through live Facebook Live, and we're glad to have you join us as well. But give us your question. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. That's why this program is called Answers from the Bible. So go ahead and call either 770-835-4000, and we'll quickly get you on the air or get your question answered on the air today. Or if you have any kind of question that you would like to bring out from God's Word, please don't hesitate. Go ahead and join us right now as we find the answers from the Bible. We sure do appreciate it. It's good to hear from Neil and Nadine and Lynn and Steve, and glad you're joining us today, and we hope and pray that this is a benefit to you as well as everyone that has tuned in today. Again, this is in Gainesville, Georgia. We're glad to be able to be with you, and we want to encourage everyone today to be able to find all the answers in God's Word. And so please don't hesitate. Be sure to tune in each week as we find the answers here. This is a weekly broadcast, and we want to give you the answers. And for those of you that are tuning in today and plan to tune in next week we will be interrupted. We will not have our program next week, but the following week we will be on the air. So please mark your calendars about that. And this program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet at 2815 Wallace Road here in Gainesville, Georgia. We are so blessed by God and thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared to, in the time to come, to meet God face to face. And thus we're going to be judged by this same set of instructions that we've been appealing to today, that is His Word in the Bible.
Ricky, there are a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that people can't see, and yes, we want to thank John and Jacob and Mark for the work that they do to help us, and Mike here at the station, and appreciate them and the opportunity that we have to be on the air. Mike, how much time do we have left?
One minute. Okay. 1 minute. All right. We want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Remember, you can continue to type in or text your questions to the same number even after we're off the air, and we will get to your question. And that number is 770-835-4000. And shortly after the program is over, you can go to that number at any time that you would like, 24/7, any day of the week. We want to thank everyone for tuning in today, and we sure do appreciate your participation. It's good to see Lori and Sonia and Liz, and we thank you for tuning in. Again, we're going to be off the air next Saturday, but the following Saturday at noon, we will be back on, and we'll be able to make certain that we have answers from the Bible.
I want to be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be thankful every day. You're the reason I'm redeemed, rejoicing all the way.